And welcome to another off-season edition of Spits and Suds. Before we know it, the boys will be lacing up the skates and camp will begin. But until that time, we continue to give great content to you. Thank you guys so much for making Spits and Suds what it is. What a banger we had the other night. The barn was a rock and it was a Tuesday night, but that did not matter to you guys as you packed Boomer Jacks and Fairview Allen. We'll talk about that with our NHL and Stars insider Sean Shapiro in just a second. You know who else was there? The on-time experts, because they support local sports, specifically the official partner of Spits and Suds. They were there and they were registering people to win Stars tickets. It was so cool that they were there. And it was great that so many of you got to meet the people at the on-time experts and see what they're all about, because they want you to be a customer for life. It's that simple. There, in fact, I was talking to Millsy, one of our listeners, and he was like, this is great. I met the on-time experts and I think I'm going to try them out. And that's all they're asking. Try the on-time experts out. There's a reason that so many people have reviewed the on-time experts. Nearly 6,000 is 4.8 out of 5 stars. They have some amazing specials happening right now. Yes, I understand the AC is working right now, but it's not too late to get it fully cleaned. It's still, oh my goodness, Sean just realized how blazing hot it is down here. So great time to get that clean. Great time to get your drains cleaned. And they have that $99 first-time customer first floor drain cleaning, as well as the $59 special for your getting your HVAC cleaned. And when I say cleaned, I mean, they are taking everything apart and putting it back together. As they even tell you up front, this could take up to 2 hours, but don't you want that? You don't want someone coming in with a duster and saying you're good to go. No, you want your HVAC. I mean, you take your car in for a tune-up. You take your car in for an oil change. We forget that HVAC systems need tune-ups, and that puts life back into the system, and it also makes it more energy efficient. So it's a win-win, and that's what the on-time experts want you to realize. So go to theontimeexperts.com, theontimeexperts.com. Same day service guaranteed. I've used them for myself. I'm a customer for life. You can be too with the on-time experts. We bring in from Shap Shots, that's his Substack, also doing great work for Elite Prospects. That is a site I go to daily, and I'm so proud that he was able to make the event, and it was a banger. And D Magazine, Sean writes for as well. You can catch all his work at Sean Shapiro. How are you today, my friend?
I'm good. And now that Brian's not here, I could probably say you should use the on-time experts and not whoever the guys Brian Ray used for.
Oh, I know. Look behind you, damn Ray. Look behind you.
His house things. So
I know. He started to go in. I'm like, please say the on-time experts. But you know what? Yeah. At least I was on the panel, and I think I've used them 3 or 4 times, and each time they're wonderful. In fact, they were telling me, they're like, you know what we like about you? And I'm like, what? You never call us. You just use us. I'm like, yeah, I'm not looking for any favors, man, because if I get a favor, then, you know, I want everyone else to get a favor. So yeah. And so that was really cool. But thank you, Sean. You have a busy schedule with family life and everything you're doing. You took the time, and what a picture with Sean Shapiro and Stephen Meserve and the line of people looking for signatures of their book, We Win Here. You also had your first book that someone brought to get signed. And as you perfectly wrote, it was beat up, and you love to see your book being beat up because that meant it was read. And that's one of my favorite moments, kids wanting to meet you, Sean. That was awesome.
It was a lot of fun, Gavin. I said yesterday, I said on the show, I said when we had you joined Robert and I yesterday, it was really cool to see all of that come together. And I'm very, very serious about this. Is you put the work in. It was a lot of fun. Obviously, we missed you, Greg, but hopefully, but I'm glad Greg got to be there in spirit with us as well.
Yeah.
It's definitely, I'm pretty psyched for what you put together with everything. So a lot of fun. Got home yesterday after seeing you guys in the studio there. And now I got, Robert gave me a ride back to the airport and in a 3 or 4 weeks from now, I'm going to return the favor and pick him up at the airport in Detroit for the prospect tournament. So
that's awesome. I can't wait to get that, that coverage. And, you know, shout out, I did it off the air. Aaliyah, one of our great listeners. She is such a dedicated Stars fan. She drives a lot of times and stays overnight, but she drives in from Arkansas to watch the Stars. And she drove in from Arkansas and surprised us. And she deserves a huge shout out. And I met so many people that I've interacted with on Twitter/X, and seeing them in person was absolutely amazing. And I wish I could spend more time with them. But the good news is that as Robert said, he goes, I got my notebook. He goes, let's start writing what we liked about this event and what we can do next time. I mean, literally, we did that yesterday. So here we go, right?
Mm-hmm. A lot of fun. And again, appreciate all of the stuff that kind of everything that we put together, that you kind of put together on this, was, it was awesome. So very excited.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was a first class event, and I appreciate it. So I appreciate everyone involved. Thank you for coming. Aaliyah was amazing. Brian Ray was amazing. Obviously Robert, Stephen Meserve. It was so great that so many people wanted to talk to Stephen about Texas Stars. Sports Tunes came down from Oklahoma. That was so cool. And it was so cool that people wanted to meet Sports Tunes. He's an awesome guy. So it was just a great, you know, it was a celebration of DFW hockey. And one of my favorite parts that I forgot to mention on yesterday's program was the fact that Stars fans were talking to Stars fans and developing a relationship. And I love that, because that's the purpose of this.
Yeah, a lot. That's a great way to put it, because it was, you talk about building community and getting people together, and that's exactly what that is.
So one of the things that came up, we had a lot going on that night, but we were talking a little bit about fourth line and Oscar mm-hmm. Beck's name, and Colin Blackwell's name came up. And I wanted to talk to Sean today as far as from an informative standpoint, because I love looking at those lines, but the question is, and Sean's brought it up a couple of times, how much is that going to matter? So I wanted Sean to start this program by explaining this as far as Oscar Beck's role, Colin Blackwell's role, and, you know, why, you know, similar to maybe the third string quarterback of the Cowboys, let's say, like, yeah, we could talk about it, but how much big picture is it going to matter?
Yeah, and I think this is the whole depth does matter, and I think that's important to get the, just to be clear about that. But there's the reality is the Stars are going to, hockey is not as star driven, right, as the NBA is and everything like that, right? Like it's not to that level of things, but the reality is this Stars team is, if we're worrying about Colin Blackwell having 11 goals versus 8 goals, there's much bigger problems up higher that we're skipping over. Because the reality is, the question is going to be, can Jason Robertson be a 100-point player? Can he be a 105-point player? Can Mikko Rantanen get back to the century mark? These things that the Stars have this depth and they have this kind of fourth line identity group, as you want to call it, right? And we'll see, it'd be interesting to see kind of how that meshes together and where UL Kiviranta goes and things like that. But the reality is those are the margin pieces that one of those guys could be the big time goal scorer. Colin Blackwell, obviously, Gavin, as we well know, scored a big goal in a game 7 and everything like that. But
heck yeah.
But those aren't the things that we should be worrying about. And those are the things that kind of, it's the whole, what's the famous line? Like, that's what the money's for, right? Like, that's what the money is for to Jason Robertson and Mikko Rantanen and Wyatt Johnston. And they have to deliver and raise raise everything else on this team. And if it's 6 goals versus even 11, if we're worrying about 5 goals one way or the other for Colin Blackwell, we have larger problems that we're ignoring at the time. And I think that's kind of the whole thing. Like, I think those guys are great stories. I love depth players. I love talking to guys lower in the lineup. They have some of the best personalities. They typically speaking have all time of day for you. But the reality is they are the exclamation point. They are the ones where it's gravy, and it's doing a disservice to expectation for everything else if you're kind of getting caught up on that.
Well, I think one of the other things, is there a team out in the NHL that you can think of? And I'll use Kiviranta as an example, or Radek Foxa. I think maybe where they do play a role, and then you might be in trouble, or do you do call-ups at that point, meaning you are injury riddled and you have to move those players up in lines? I guess the question becomes is, you know, how good are those players and how versatile are them as far as now all of a sudden their role kind of changes?
Yeah, it's like how high up in the lineup can a Joel Kiviranta go, right? Like that's a fair question, right? And how high in the lineup should you, like, if Radek Foxa is anything more than a fourth line center at this point in his career, you're probably not happy with that, right? Like, he's now, his salary is a little bit higher, a little bit more in line than what it should be, but yeah, it's, you have to put some, and we talk about the left wing and we talk about the whole Jamie Benn thing. It's the thing where you keep bringing up the good point, Gavin, of you look down that wing and you're like, that's going to be a place where other coaches are going to be like, maybe we should attack this with a little bit of speed down the flank and everything like that. I think players can be elevated in stints. I think a Joel Kiviranta can be elevated for a game or two, or in a period or something like that. Even a Sam Steele, I think probably a little bit more skill there that can move a little more regularly, but there's not the consistency of that. There's not the consistency there in that top six role that you want to count on. And I think that's kind of the thing where it's one thing for a game or two. It's another thing for, hey, there's a reason that these players are where they are in the lineup typically and not up there for all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean just got off the phone for a great, I'm excited about this interview and reading this article. It's going to be on Elite Prospects, and he sat down with former Stars assistant Misha Donskoff, who is doing great things right now, vice president of hockey operations for Hockey Canada, and doing really good things. And it's fascinating, the career of Misha Donskoff. And Sean, did he go into as far as what he's doing now and the urge maybe to get back into the NHL? And it's kind of fascinating when you look at his career. He was with Vegas. Pete DeBoer comes on. Pete DeBoer keeps him as an assistant coach and then essentially hires him in Dallas, or as part of the process as well. Did he go into the relationship with Pete at all?
We talked a little bit about his time with Pete. The reality is, I think for Misha, he's in a really good spot now with Hockey Canada. He still was living in DFW, actually. Still lives in DFW right now, plans to move to Calgary within the next couple weeks. And so he was doing the he and I had similar feelings about having, we were both in Edmonton at the same time and then went from Edmonton to DFW around the same time. So him and I had similar conversations about the heat there. It's, I love DFW, but there is you can't deny it's, it can be kind of jarring going from Alberta to DFW in mid August.
Yeah.
But, I think Misha's at that spot right now where he's pretty happy with the Hockey Canada role. And there's going to be some great opportunities for him. He was the coach for the senior national team at World Championships. He was the assistant on the Olympic team. He's going to be the head coach of the World Junior team this year in the World Championships in the spring. And it's part of the whole, like, Canada trying to be a little bit more dedicated to its national team programs. Obviously, you always want to bring in the best people, but part of the kind of fly-by-night nature of what's happened with tournaments outside of best on best, because obviously Canada won Four Nations because they had the most talent, and I think it's hard for anyone, as much as even the most red-blooded American, can watch that gold medal game and realize that Connor Hellebuyck probably did the U.S. a ton of favors against Canada there. He's in a really good spot, and I think if he wants to get back into the NHL as a head coach, it's like he can get back onto any, like if he wanted to go back to the NHL as an assistant, there is many teams that would be interested in hiring Misha Donskov. I think if he wants to get into the head coaching thing, and we talked a little bit about that, I think the way is to have some success with this World Junior team, with this World Championship team, and then you kind of get to make that decision of, it's the, in this hybrid role, do you want to stick with that, or do you want to go, because Misha's also done some hockey management stuff too. He worked in director of hockey operations for Vegas as well before becoming an assistant coach with them. At some point, you kind of make the decision on, like, I think he's going to be reading the tea leaves on this. This experience is going to kind of help him figure out, do I want to be in management or do I want to be in coaching? And it'd be interesting to see where it all goes.
Yeah, absolutely. And on that note, let's stick with the Stars assistant coaches, because Neil Graham, we kind of assumed if he didn't join Dallas, someone kind of would pluck him out of the organization and become an assistant coach someplace else. And I think for a first-year assistant coach, obviously the power play and Gullitson had a lot to do with it as well. And then I look at Alain Nazardine, and one of the reasons I look at him is I'm kind of fascinated because when he was the coach of New Jersey, they actually performed pretty well and really hasn't got a chance since. And now he's an assistant. We know that the penalty kill has been really good. So we talk about Donskov and future NHL opportunities. What about the Stars assistant coaches and what needs to happen for other teams to say, I need to pluck one of those guys?
I think there's, I mean, Neil Graham is definitely getting interviews, and I think that's going to keep happening as long as the Stars have success and he continues. He's going to be and so I think Nazardine is an interesting one because it's probably going to take someone saying, "Hey, he's our guy." It's going to take somebody basically liking him, for lack of a better word. Neil Graham, to me, there's the, I'm going to use the comparison of, I'm going to pull a comparison here from a management perspective. Neil needs some of the team success to continue to raise his profile. Like, so I go back to give people an example. I think the person who has been hurt the most by the Red Wings playoff drought has actually been Chris Draper. Because everyone talks about Chris Draper. He's the assistant GM for the Detroit Red Wings. And there's always the conversation about, he could be a good NHL GM someday with Draper and everything like that. He puts the work in and all of that stuff. And that's true. Well, that is true. The other reality is it's hard for Chris Draper to pass the smell test of to get hired when you've been the assistant GM of a team that missed the playoffs for 10 years in a row, right? Like you can't really, like, when you go and be like, oh, if some team was to hire Chris Draper, like, oh, he was the assistant GM of the Red Wings and they missed the playoffs for a decade, right? Like, that doesn't really pass the test for, no matter how good he's done at his job, that doesn't really pass the test for. So I think when it comes to Neil and some of these others, Stars assistant coaches, it's the, can you strike when the iron's hot? Like, that's how Jim Montgomery became an NHL head coach, because he realized it was time to jump with fresh off the national title at Denver. There's been other assistant coaches we've seen that happen with. It's, in a roundabout way of saying this, Gavin, it's the, can the Stars get back to where they were the past couple of years, maybe win the whole thing, even if they don't, even like maybe get to the Stanley Cup final, and all of a sudden someone's like, hey, we want that for our program. That's kind of what has to happen.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's move to NHL defensemen, because the story out and about today is that the NHL Network came out with their top NHL defensemen, and Josh Morrissey fell 10 spots, the Winnipeg Jets blue liner, down to number 16. So I thought that was interesting, and it got me thinking because, you know, I'm not here for a Josh Morrissey debate as far as NHL defensemen, because there are a lot of NHL defensemen. I'm a fan of Josh Morrissey. I was just wondering, it got me thinking, the top five defensemen in the Central Division, because we are certainly rich with D-men in the NHL, in Central Division specifically.
Yeah, it is. That's a good call because the Central is absolutely loaded with top defensemen. You've got
Cale Makar at one, right?
Yeah, Cale Makar at one. Probably got Quinn Hughes.
Yep.
Quinn Hughes at number two. You yep. have Miro at number three.
Yep.
You go to a there's a, let's see, I'm just trying to think. You go to Morrissey, and it's the,
I think it's Morrissey then Faber.
Well, Faber probably comes in at the Faber definitely comes in, I think, high. Like for me, Faber would be four, and then it becomes Morrissey versus
Yossi.
Yossi probably for that last spot right there.
Yeah. I mean, maybe based on this year or this past year, we're not talking about Sergachev in Utah.
I think he's close. Like, I think Sergachev is the, like, I think Sergachev has some upside there, but it's such a tough group to crack right now.
Yeah, I agree. I guess if we look after that, it's like a Sergachev, Thomas Harley with a good year, and then we're looking at
that's the Harley thing, right? Like it's the whole. Yeah. It goes back to if you want to go to Thomas Harley, and you look in his own division, is there a, like, all of a sudden we add Zach Werenski to the division, and Zach Werenski's in that top four conversation right away, right? Like, that's a good example for all the people who get caught up in the, oh my God, why would they trade Thomas Harley for Zach Werenski? Well, pretty obvious why. So,
yeah. And, you know, you don't want to put pressure on a player, and I hate the expectations based on salary, but now when we're looking at over $10 million, you kind of want that guy on the first power play unit, right? At that kind of money,
you'd like to, but you also don't have to, right?
Yeah. Like, okay.
I think first power play unit, if you have the I personally think Thomas Harley should be on the first power play, and I don't think that's a bold statement to make, but that's more of a coaching decision when it comes to things. Like, I think with the Stars, I wouldn't mind this year, and we could probably get out the pen and paper and start drawing things up and figuring ideas out. But, like, I sometimes wonder if there's different ways to, so often we get caught up in we're going to draw up our first power play unit. Like, wouldn't it feel like, we're going to go off the beaten path here for a second, Gavin and Greg, I'm sorry, everyone.
Let's do it. No, it's okay.
But, like, if you're trying to think outside the box and you're trying to make a team prep for you, what if you just you don't, everyone gets caught up in first power play unit, second power play unit, and everything like that. It's one of the most pre-scouted things. Why don't you some games throw out Thomas Harley with the ones, and some games throw out Miro Heiskanen with the ones? I know in theory you're messing with your consistency, I guess, and that might be what someone pushes back against, but the reality is, from a preparation standpoint, Thomas Harley attacks a little bit differently than Miro Heiskanen, and that's good. And so when it comes to, if you switch it up from time to time, and how football teams have no issue saying, hey, let's throw out a different formation to figure it out. Like, hockey, we get so stuck in our ways sometimes. Like, why don't you see some of that more often? I'm going TED Talk-ish big picture thinking here on this, because I think that's how you should look. And maybe that's a way you get Thomas Harley going a little bit more too.
Sure.
I hope that makes sense.
No, it does. It completely does. I wish they would do that. Yeah, absolutely. Let's get his confidence up, because you're right. It's like the Thomas Harley we see in the Olympics and the Four Nations sometimes can be different than the one we see with the Dallas Stars.
Yeah.
And
100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, for those listening, he absolutely, you know, has the potential to jump up in that list. Let's end with this. 12 under the radar NHL acquisitions who could surprise next season, out by Sportsnet. And Maverick Bork was at the top of the list. And, you know, once again, trying to do this program for education purposes. And I did not like the line in this article, basically, where it says the 24-year-old's departure from Dallas appeared to have more to do with the clearing cap space for the Jason Robertson deal. And I'm like, appeared. I think that's the only reason. So I found that fascinating.
There's also no way he was like, I don't know how many times I have to tell people.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no way they were going to keep Maverick Bork and Jason Robertson. That's right. Not, like, there's no, like, the whole thing that keeps coming up, and I'm just sick of it. It's the whole, like, oh, well, if they'd gotten it done better, if they'd done sooner, maybe Maverick Bork's still here. No, he was the amount of money he got from Nashville, he was never going to get in Dallas. The offer sheet was there, was the offer sheets were being lined up. So it's like the whole it's 100% what it is. And also the Stars. The other thing that a lot of people are missing, too, was the Stars saw more value in trading Maverick Bork with the ability to move Ilya Lyubushkin's salary.
Big point.
Then the potential offer sheet. And I think everyone forgets about that, where the Stars moved about $3.25 million additional on the deal because they were able to get that off without having to pay extra to get rid of that. So, like, I think that's important, right? And I think people get lost on that. So,
well, I just think, you know, I mean, listen, I think, as Stars fans, one of the things to take a step back, and sure, it stings watching Logan Stankoven raise the cup, and that's okay because you're a passionate fan. But at the same time, Sean, you know, you got a top tenner in the NHL based on that, who basically propelled you in the playoffs just two seasons ago and was not healthy this year. So I think, like, just having perspective, if Maverick Bork has a great season with Nashville, terrific for him. But at the same time, I understand they're homegrown, but you cannot keep everyone. And at the same time, you have to move players. That's what organizations do. In fact, I think the Stars could be criticized. Maybe you agree or disagree, Sean, for maybe kind of sticking with some players rather than, you know, moving them at times.
Jim Nill has been loyal to a fault at times. And I think that's absolutely the best way to put it. 100%. Yeah. There's been, goes back to I think that's the best way to put it. There's been other, it's also not Jason Robertson's fault or Maverick Bork's fault that the Stars put themselves in this cap situation, right? Like, that is, I think that's something that everyone kind of gets, like, starts hand-wringing about with Stars and the players and putting everything on them. But at some point you just got to look at what the GM does and say, okay, that's also on them to get it done the right way.
Yes, absolutely. So we're seeing the Carolina Hurricanes players and personnel with their day with the Stanley Cup. So my question
to you,
I love it. It's one of the great traditions in all of sports. Sean, do you have a memory with the Cup? Because it was here in Dallas. Mm-hmm. The massage therapist, formerly of the Stars, was with the Washington Capitals, named Chloe, really nice guy, Cleo, sorry. Mm-hmm. And he brought it to a charity event to take pictures on his day, which I think was awesome. So I took a picture, but I did not touch the cup because I feel as though you have to be a player to touch the cup. I later learned that night that people were raising it over their head. And I was like, oh man, you know, I was like old school traditional, like have my arm, but not actually physically touching it. What have been your interactions with the Stanley Cup?
Yeah. So actually, when it was in Dallas for that, my daughter was very young. So we brought her there and we actually took a picture with her with it. And that was a lot of fun. And I've been there when it's been, I've been on the ice. I mean, I've been on the ice a couple times when it's been awarded. So I'm very lucky in my career. I've been on the ice when both Vegas and Florida have won it. I've been on the ice for like part of the media part of it. And there's such a cool, like, there, it's the whole, there are no words type deal, but it's true. It really is like, there's no words of the best way to kind of, to figure out, like, to kind of talk about, well, this is like the culmination of a dream and everything like that. Like, there really are no words for it. And it's pretty damn cool to see it and like to see people enjoy it and everything like that. And for me, it's just being able to sit back and watch some others do it, I think, is my favorite part.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. There was another time where I had someone I knew and they said, hey, I want you to come meet somebody. And it was at Nick and Sam Steakhouse. And they're like, you're a big hockey guy. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, wow. Well, it must be important. They're like, you have to come. And there at the bar was the Stanley Cup. So that was my first interaction. And it was pretty cool to see people line up and take pictures once they realized what it was. But so great time of year. And it kind of ramps you up for next season. Sean, you are about to go on a really cool vacation, correct?
Correct. We are taking the kids on the... the trip to Orlando for Disney World and everything like that. So definitely, kids are thrilled and excited, and we are doing all that. The wallet's going to take a little bit of a hit, but it's going to be well worth it.
It's well deserved, my friend. Kind of refreshes you before. I mean, you've already kicked off with the Gretzky Cup and everything you've been doing and coming down here. So you're already on a roll. So I'm glad you get some family time. And everyone, make sure that you follow Elite Prospects for Sean's article. Support Sean. It's coming out next week, and it's on Misha Donskoff, the former Stars assistant coach. And you can always follow what Sean does at Sean Shapiro. His Shap Shots is a absolutely terrific read. Highly recommend it. A lot of good info on there. That's Shap Shots. That's his Substack. Sean also does stuff for D Magazine. And follow his YouTube channel, Algorithmically Incorrect. I was so proud to be on that program yesterday. So it's awesome. It's him and our friend Robert Tiffin of NHL.com and StarsThoughts.com. You're a beast, buddy. Enjoy the vacation. I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Gavin. And we will we'll definitely talk soon. Always fun.
Absolutely. That's going to do it for another Spits and Suds podcast. Thank you once again for everyone that came out on Tuesday night. You guys are so inspiring, and we had a blast, and it was so awesome gathering with you guys as we celebrate hockey in DFW. Special thanks to Gregory Finley, our producer of this fine program, the on-time experts making it happen. Make sure, same day service guaranteed at theontimeexperts.com. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Until our next podcast, have a great day, everyone.